Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Antigo to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Great to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. Happy first Wednesday of February. And we've got a lot for you here today on this show. First off, we're going to sit down with Dewey Riley, Hatchet Hockey Coach, to talk about the team. And we'll also preview the Great Northern Conference Tournament game that's coming up for Tomahawk this Saturday when they take on Lakeland. We'll also break down the Bucks' struggles under Doc Rivers and how that can be fixed, or really what needs to be corrected. And we'll also get into Badger basketball, plus Super Bowl 58 prediction. We'll be here, folks. But first, we're going to begin on the baseball diamond with the Brewers.
Here it comes. And that one's deep. Right center. Christian Yelich has tied it up.
Okay. Let's go ahead and jump right in, shall we? Now, I remember talking with one of my good friends, Hunter Baumgartner from 97.3 The Game, last week, going a little more in-depth on the Rhys Hoskins deal for Milwaukee to bring him in, because it was the largest average annual value that the Brewers have given out for a contract, topping the $16 million a year they gave Lorenzo Cain back in 2018, because Rhys Hoskins signed a $17 million a year contract 2 years with an opt-out after one. And Hunter and I started talking of, you know what, okay, this is a team that could win the division, they could get to the postseason, surprise some people, and probably lose in the NLCS before they get to the World Series. Then, the very next night, a bombshell ripped through the entire state of Wisconsin, and that was Cy Young Award winner Corbin Burnes traded to the Baltimore Orioles. Now, here's what I'm going to say about this trade. I'm not necessarily upset that it happened. I am more upset with the timing of it. If they made this deal and didn't bring in Hoskins 2 weeks ago, I would say, okay, we fully embrace the rebuild. Let's see what we've got. But the fact that you brought in Hoskins, especially at such a steep price, and then you turn around and trade Burnes to say, well, it looks like we're preparing for the future, and now it sounds like that Willy Adames is also on the trade block as well, that's a problem with me. So let's go over the trade once again. So the Baltimore Orioles get Corbin Burnes, who, by the way, will be their ace. And the Orioles right now, they look like one of the top contenders in the American League, because you got to put Houston up there. You definitely have to put Texas up there as well. Never sleep on the Yankees. The American League will still be stacked this year. The Brewers are going to get Joey Ortiz, who's a shortstop, and a left-handed pitcher in DL Hall. They're also going to get the number 34 overall pick in the 2024 MLB draft, which I had no idea you could trade. Excuse me, you could trade for draft picks in baseball. If I knew that, the Brewers probably, I think that I would have liked to throw in a first-round pick for pretty much all the other trades that the Brewers have made for their star players. But now I know that prospects are a lot more valuable in baseball, but draft picks would have been nice. So before I go ham on Milwaukee, let me tell you about Ortiz and Hall. These two particular players, Ortiz and Hall, they're top 100 prospects. They were number 5 and number 6 also, so they were top 10 prospects in Baltimore systems. And to be honest with you, Hall, he's likely going to be a starter this year, because now the Brewers' ace is going to be Freddy Peralta, with Burnes now traded. Brandon Woodruff got released. So it's going to be Freddy Peralta and a bunch of veterans. Wayne Miley, Colin Ray, DL Hall. They've also got Robert Gosser coming up from the minor leagues, as well as Joe Ross. And Ortiz may honestly be the starting shortstop for the future if they decide to move to Willy Adames. Now, let me go ahead and just get into Milwaukee here. This is my definition of the Brewer system right now as we speak.
Brilliant. I have absolutely no idea what's going on.
That's the Brewers organization right now. And again, I'm not mad at the trade per se, because the trade on itself, I would have liked to see one more prospect or another draft pick get thrown in. I do think that they didn't get, I don't think they got him for pennies on the dollar. I think they got him for quarters on the dollar. I would have liked to see one more prospect or one more draft pick thrown in with this. However, the timing of this is just so, it's so off. Because listen, I like Matt Arter and I think he's done a decent job with this particular team. The problem is that you make this trade after bringing in Rhys Hoskins and essentially solidifying your first baseman for 2024, maybe even beyond, depending if he wants to stay in Milwaukee or not. I would understand if they made this trade in December, which, by the way, they have been in talks about making this trade in December. Well, you know what? Damn it, make the trade in December. To be honest with you, I cannot believe that the Brewers waited 2 months to make this deal. If they made this trade in December, then everyone would sit back and say, okay, we're going to be rebuilding. There's going to be a youth movement. It'll probably take a couple of years for them to get back to the postseason, but let's see what the young guys have. Now, to me, the Brewers don't have any direction. They really don't have any direction. You signed Jackson Churio to a long-term extension, and now we thought, okay, this could be a sign that they bring in that they trade away Burns and Adames. Now they bring in Rhys Hoskins 2 weeks ago, and all of a sudden we think, oh, this team could honestly, they're trying to play for the division, they're trying to win, they're trying to get to the postseason, and now they trade Corbin Burns last week. And to be honest, according to Matt Arnold and Brewers and the Brewers organization, more players are up for a trade, including Willy Adames, who had a disappointing year last year. No doubt about that. If this deal was made in December, why in the world did you not pull the trigger? If you pulled the trigger, we would have understood it. We would understand it. That's the problem with small market baseball. You can only be good for so long before deciding that you have to move into a different direction. And now, after you bring in Rhys Hoskins, after you tease Brewers fans that, oh, we're going to be competitive, we're going to fight for a division title, we're going to be back in everything, you end up making this trade 2 weeks before spring training? Really? Now the expectations for the 2024 season have changed. Instead of competing for a division title, we're probably going through the youth movement. We're going to have to see what Jackson Churio and Tyler Black and D.L. Hall and Joey Ortiz and Robert Gosser and Joe Ross bring to the table. Now, the Brewers do have a lot of nice young prospects, but again, the thing that frustrates me, you were in the postseason last year. You lost in the wild card round to the Arizona Diamondbacks, who, by the way, went all the way to the World Series and ended up fighting with the Texas Rangers tooth and nail. So again, if they wanted to say they lost to the eventual National League champions, that's fine. No issue with it whatsoever. But you made this trade 2 weeks, a week after teasing us that Rhys Hoskins was going to come in and this team was going to be competitive in 2024, even after Craig Counsell darted for Chicago. That ticks me off. I'm sorry. I do not like the timing of this. And now this is the projected starting lineup for the Brewers. And this is not a bad starting lineup. You got Hoskins at first base. Bryce Terang's likely going to be at second. He's struggled offensively. You got Willy Adames and Joey Ortiz that are probably going to alternate. The big question is going to be at third baseman. Are they going to roll with Tyler Black or are they going to start Andrew Monasterio? Your designated hitter is probably going to be Christian Yelich because you got to find a spot for him. And your outfield is comprised of Churio, Jackson Churio, Garrett Mitchell, Sal Frelick, and your catcher's William Contreras. This team thrived on defense and pitching last year. Now they're going to have to rely on offense. And to be honest with you, offense is not going to win you a World Series. Offense will not win you a World Series. You will not get back to the postseason unless you have great pitching and good defense. So the fact that the Brewers made this trade after bringing in Hoskins, I don't see a direction with this team. And I hate saying that because I like Matt Arnold and I think he's done a good job, especially last year. But the timing of everything with this is just off to me. Craig Counsell darts for Chicago. That was the first issue. You bring in Pat Murphy, the bench coach. We're going to see what he's like as a manager this year. But again, the timing of this just boggles my mind. This was the difference essentially between from when they were talking about this trade to when they made it.
So much later that the old narrator got tired of waiting and they had to hire a new one.
There you go. Starting rotation for the Brewers are going to be Freddie Peralta, Wade Miley, Colin Ray, Robert Gosser, DL Hall, and Joe Ross. Those are going to be the six pitchers that are going to be in the starting rotation and probably rotate in and out throughout the course of the season. Now, here's the crazy part about all this. You know what the crazy part about all this is? The Brewers could still win the division. That's what's crazy about it. Because you look at the National League Central. Do I think St. Louis will be as bad as they were last year? No. Do I think the Cubs will be better with Craig Counsell as a manager? Yes. As a matter of fact, right now, I think that they're the favorite to come out of that division. The Pirates, to me, have been rebuilding for the last 20 years. You got the Cincinnati Reds, who has a decent young core, but they don't seem to have any direction either. So if you take a look at this division, and the goal of the team is to get to the postseason and make a run towards the NLCS, why are you making that trade now? Let me know what you guys think. Be more than glad to take calls in here on this. 453-4481. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm going to allow myself to cool off a little bit after going in, and then we're going to talk some Badger basketball. That's next here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Yes, we know it's early, but many days already the maple syrup is running. No worries, because Vigoit's Do It Express is ready. Brian is featuring a nice selection of maple syrup supplies for your bottling needs. He has glass containers, fine hydrometers, funnels, and other syruping supplies. Vigoit's Do It Express on North 4th Street, Tomahawk. They are your maple syrup supply headquarters.
Imagine strolling through a car lover's paradise with a vast selection of top quality used vehicles. Each one waiting for you to take them for a spin. Now, make that dream a reality at Bremen Merrill Ford. Bremen Merrill Ford brings your automotive dreams to life. Are you a sleek sedan person, a rugged truck go-getter, or an SUV family? Bremen Merrill Ford has them all. It's not just a dream, it's reality they offer. Their lot is filled with a massive selection of top quality used vehicles, each one meticulously inspected and ready for adventure. It's easier than you think to drive off in style because the team at Bremen Merrill Ford is there to guide you through a stress-free car buying experience. If you can dream it, they can make it happen with unbeatable deals and financing options. You'll be cruising down the road in the car of your dreams in no time. Stop dreaming and start living. Visit Bremen Merrill Ford today and turn your automotive dreams into reality.
It's easier than you think at Bremen Merrill Ford.
Let Carrier provide quiet, efficient heating all winter long with innovative solutions for premium comfort available at Hilge's LP Gas. And for a healthier home, add the Infinity Air Purifier with an advanced filter that can capture and kill select viruses and bacteria. Learn the science and its impact on coronavirus at carrier.com/purifier. Hilge's LP Gas, proudly serving our Northwoods area since 1958. Hilge's for your healthy heating comfort. Call 453-3505 or visit hilge's.com. Carrier, turn to the experts.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hour is Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
Well, you may be right, Billy Joel. Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. This is funny. After going in on the Brewers for not essentially winning, they go out and they make a move. So we did just get this in. The Brewers and former All-Star catcher Gary Sanchez have agreed to a one-year, $7 million contract. And it includes a mutual option for 2025. So they now have the backup catcher solidified, with pitchers and catchers reporting to training camp next Thursday. Okay, great. You got somebody to back up Contreras. But you know what? Let's now dive into Wisconsin Badger basketball. What do you say? The unpredictable Wisconsin news continues.
You can never guess what you get here. I mean, my God.
Yeah, exactly. So the Badgers dropped their last two games. They lost to Nebraska on the road and to Purdue at home. Now, obviously, with college basketball, you're not going to win every game that you play. It's very rare that you have an undefeated national champion. The closest that we've had recently was when Gonzaga went all the way to the national title and ultimately lost to Baylor back in 2021, I believe. Yes, that was the COVID year. Now, they lost to Nebraska on the road in overtime. Now, again, Nebraska is not necessarily the same team that's a pushover. Fred Hoiberg is doing a really good job with that program, and they're rebuilding it. So I'm not upset that they lost. I'm upset at the fact that they had to blow an 18-point lead in order to lose. That's really what it boils down to. They lost in the close and tight game. It's okay. It happens. And plus, Nebraska has not lost to a Big Ten team at home this year. They also beat Purdue at home. So that's something to pay attention to. They are no longer a cakewalk in that Big Ten. But you cannot blow 18-point leads on the road, regardless of who you're going up against. I don't care if you're going up against Nebraska or Purdue or Kansas or even Ohio State. Even Michigan, who they play tonight, by the way. You can't blow 18-point leads. Period, plain and simple. Now, the Huskers are a much better team again with Fred Hoiberg taking over. Then you go ahead and you flip your way back around to going back on Sunday to take on Purdue, who's the number two team in the country, reigning AP Player of the Year in Zach Edey. And I thought that Wisconsin did as good of a job as they could on him without letting him essentially dominate the game. Tyler Wall had an unbelievable game. 20 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals. He played absolutely phenomenal. He had 6 offensive rebounds in that game. The biggest reason why Wisconsin lost to Purdue, though, on Sunday was because their leading scorer, AJ Storr, could not get going. That's really it. If AJ Storr has a game like he did this season where he puts up 18, 20, 22 points, Wisconsin probably wins that game. But the big thing with Wisconsin that's concerning is that their defense at the guard spot is starting to become an issue because they gave up a lot to Penn State, which again they lost to on the road. They gave up a lot of points to their guard play to Nebraska, who they lost to on the road. And they gave up a lot to Purdue, who they lost to at home. So only the second home loss of this year for Wisconsin. Their other loss was to Tennessee back when they were ranked top 10. And again, no shame in losing to Tennessee. The problem is that with this college team, you have to go out and play your best basketball that you can because you only have a limited amount of time when you are there. AJ Storr again had an off night Sunday. Tyler Wall had an unbelievable game. And this is one of these matchups where if Wisconsin and Purdue go against each other 10 times, one of them is probably going to win 5 and the other one's probably going to win 5. That's just how it is. That honestly is just the way the cookie crumbles. That's how close of a team Wisconsin and Purdue are. Now again, the Badgers, they still have a lot of games to play, but they better go ahead and get it corrected. They have to get it corrected because they don't have an easy schedule coming up. Now tonight they've got Michigan at home on the road in Ann Arbor. They're probably going to win that game because Michigan has completely imploded under Juwan Howard as head coach, and he'll probably get fired at the end of the season. But after that, they go to Rutgers. They've got Ohio State at home. They go to Iowa. And again, Iowa is no cakewalk either by any stretch of the imagination. The Hawkeyes are always going to play you tough, especially with Fran McCaffrey at head coach. You then got Maryland at home. And then you go to Indiana. Listen, This Badger team, this is the time for them to get on a long losing streak. I would rather have them go through these kinds of struggles now than going into the conference tournament, which they'll probably be a top two or three seed, I would think, depending on how well they do the rest of the way. And remember, they've got two more matchups with top 10 opponents as of right now coming up. They've got number 10 Illinois, and they go back to Purdue to wrap up the regular season on senior night. So if you really want to boil it down, I do believe that this Badger team can not only win the Big Ten, they've got a chance to make a deep run. They have got to get their defense shored up, though. If they don't get their defense shored up, they're probably going to go home in the second round, just like they did in their last tournament appearance when they lost to 11-seeded Ohio State and unceremoniously ended Johnny Davis's Badger career. They're still a very good scoring team. They're still a very good offensive team. They can shoot the ball lights out. They have a very good offensive rebounding team. What's going to matter is their defensive play at the guard position. You've got Chucky. Again, I am so proud of Chucky Hepburn for taking a step back and allowing everybody else to score. He is becoming a true, pure point guard. That is the one thing I am very proud of Chucky for. Because when he came into Wisconsin, junior from Omaha, he was known as a score first guard. And I thought that he would be a scoring point guard and he would probably leave in the draft. But the way that he's playing right now, being a good defensive player, being a good stopper at that point guard position, I feel like that could bode very well for Wisconsin come tournament time. He has got to shore up his defense, though. His defense has got to be better. AJ Storr's defense has to be better. Really, overall, the Badger defense has to be better. Their post defense is not bad. Their paint defense is not terrible. But they've got to go ahead and get it fixed. And if they do not get it fixed, they will probably be a second or third round exit in the NCAA tournament coming up. Heck, I'm not going to go as far as to say first, even though I know that upsets can happen. But I'm saying second round because that is where Wisconsin has struggled to get over the hump, especially under Greg Gard. They haven't made the Sweet 16 since 2017. That was the last time they made it. And I will never, ever, ever forgive Chris Chioza for that buzzer beater three, because that was also a team that could have made a deep run because that had four senior starters on that squad and Ethan Happ. Badgers do have some stuff to figure out. They've got to figure out their defense. Greg Gard has got to say that, hey, we are scoring at will here. We just need to stop people. Pick up the effort on defense. Get some steals. Get some block shots. Come away with some easy baskets. Now, could that be because they're playing a little more up-tempo than what they used to? That could definitely be the case. But don't be afraid to slow it down, because that's what the Badgers have been built on. They have been built on slowing down the game, keeping the pace, winning games, sometimes 51-47. That's just how they played. Now they have an offensive team that has picked up the pace, and their defense is suffering a little bit because of it. It can be fixed. I think that it can be fixed. But they're going to need to fix it sooner rather than later. Again, looking at their schedule for the next few nights. Tonight, they are in Michigan at Ann Arbor. That gets underway in just about 5 minutes. After that, they go to Rutgers on Saturday. That gets underway at 11. Then they have Ohio State on Tuesday at home. They go to Iowa on the 17th. They've got Maryland on the 20th. And then at Indiana on the 27th. And not to mention, come March, again, they've got matchups with number 10 Illinois and number 2 Purdue. They've got Illinois at home, Purdue on the road. They are going to have to win one of those two games if they're going to try and maintain their spot in the top 15. And let me also bring this up. The Badgers lost those two games. They're still ranked number 11 in the country. They're still just outside the top 10. And I have a feeling they have a legitimate spot to jump into the top 10 if they're just able to take care of business over the next couple of days, because North Carolina lost at home to Clemson last night, who's ranked number 3 in the country. And also, don't forget, Kansas also lost to Kansas State this week. So the Badgers could easily be vaulted back up into the top 10 if they are able to right the wrong here. If they lose to Michigan, now you start raising the red flag a little bit and wonder, okay, what's going on? Bad games happen. Losses to top teams happen. Losses to underdogs happen. Can't lose to Michigan, though, tonight. We'll be back to recap, to preview the second half of the Sports Queue after this. You're tuned into the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Queue with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggy with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboard serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboard's Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboard's Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Appreciate you tuning in here. Again, go ahead and let me know what you think of the first half hour segments. Do you like the fact that the Brewers made this trade for Corbin Burns? Do you not like the fact that they made this trade after signing Rhys Hoskins? And also let me know about Badger basketball. Do you guys think that the Badgers should panic now, or do you think they should panic if they end up losing to Michigan tonight? Defense does definitely need to be corrected. We're going to go ahead and see what that brings to the table. And again, currently just about 6 o'clock, which means we'll head into our next update from CBS News in just a minute here. First off, we'll go ahead and preview the second half of the Sports Q ahead for you here on WJJQ. Coming up after CBS News and weather, we will have Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley join the show. He's going to talk about the conference tournament title that the Hatchets play for on Saturday. It'll be their first conference tournament championship in school history since the tournament's inception, if they're able to convert it. And we'll also go ahead and recap the rest of the season. Plus, I'll also tell you as well, the Hatchets, with this Great Northern Conference title game, we're going to have the broadcast for you. I am literally going from Medford to Mosinee on Saturday to call this game with our very own Tim Albert. Fairmont Orthodontics pregame show will hopefully begin at 6:35, and the puck is scheduled to drop at 7 o'clock, depending on the timing of the rest of the placement games down there. After that, I will have my scenario for what I think the Bucks need to do with Doc Rivers and what I think they need to do at the trade deadline, which comes up tomorrow, and also my Super Bowl 58 preview. That is all coming up on the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. Hope you're having a great Wednesday so far today. Our temperature in the Northwoods is at 42 degrees under partly cloudy skies here. Pretty clear outside, 38-degree wind chill. It's now time for CBS.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. CBS News confirms U.S. forces carried out another drone strike today in Baghdad, killing a top commander of an Iranian-backed militia. Our David Martin has more from the Pentagon.
Strikes against so-called high-value targets work is that the drone operator is basically given the clearance to take the shot when he can take it. So all day, somebody has been tracking this commander as he moved about Baghdad.
It's the latest in a series of retaliatory attacks on militants following a drone strike in Jordan that killed 3 American service members. Israel rejected demands from Hamas today to stop its offensive in Gaza. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu through an interpreter.
Today I told Secretary of the State Blinken that after we devastate Hamas, we will make sure that Gaza is completely demilitarized.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken had been trying to broker a ceasefire and framework for a hostage release there. The search continues now for 5 missing Marines in California after their helicopter went down near San Diego. CBS San Diego reporter Kelly Hesedal.
Crews had to deal with lots of mud and snow. And according to the Marine Corps, the helicopter, a H-53E Super Stallion helicopter, it left Creech Air Force Base northwest of Las Vegas during a routine training flight and was on its way to Marine Corps Air Station Miramar yesterday when it was reported overdue, meaning it didn't arrive when it was scheduled to.
The crew had complained of snowy conditions. Former President Trump struck out in court again today. A judge in New York refused to grant him a mistrial in E. Jean Carroll's defamation case, which means he'll still have to pay her $83 million in damages. Yesterday, Mr. Trump was denied immunity in his January 6 case. Police are looking for a thief who swiped a 200-foot radio tower in Jasper, Alabama. Station manager Brett Elmore.
I've been in the radio business around it all my life and then been in it for 26 years professionally. And I can say I've never heard of anything like this. I've seen it all now.
He says their offices also got ransacked, but it's still unclear why. Coca-Cola is getting mixed reaction to their new flavor. It's called Spiced, and it blends Coke flavors with raspberry and other spices. It's set to hit stores on the 19th. And Taylor Swift is headed to Disney Plus. The company says it reached a deal to get her concert film, her Eras Tour concert film, to start streaming on March 15th. It'll include 5 new songs, and it's part of a huge entertainment lineup from Disney that's coming. Frozen 3, Toy Story 5, Moana 2. That's set to hit theaters later this year. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In this market, you'll find Fisher Investments is different than other money managers.
Different how? Aren't we all just looking for the hottest stocks?
Nope. We use diversified strategies to position our clients' portfolios for their long-term goals.
You don't just provide cookie-cutter portfolios?
No, we tailor our clients' portfolios to their goals and needs.
But you still sell investments that generate high commissions for you, right?
No, we don't sell commission-based products. We're a fiduciary, the highest standard of care for a financial advisor. It means we're obligated to act in our clients' best interest.
So when do you make more money? Only when your clients make more money?
Yep, we have one transparent management fee structured so we do better when our clients do better.
Sounds like you really look out for your clients.
We do, because our priority is helping them achieve a comfortable retirement. That might be why most of our clients come from other money managers. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
The star power of players in the Super Bowl is rising.
Taylor Swift and Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce seem to belong together, which is only elevating his star power to the level of quarterback Patrick Mahomes.
Kelce, Mahomes, they're running the show. They've been running the show, and they've been running the show for a while.
Trading card expert Brandon Steiner is the CEO of Collectible Exchange and StarStock.com. He says a Mahomes rookie trading card in good shape can fetch hundreds of dollars, but looks to the 49ers for a possible new era.
They'll become national names, and this will be a really big deal. The 49ers have a huge base.
That could get much bigger on Sunday. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
And as you prep for those game day parties, Whole Foods is pulling dairy products off shelves over a listeria outbreak. Watch for products by 365 and Rizzo Lopez Foods, including cheeses, yogurt, and sour cream. They've killed 2 people and hospitalized dozens. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time, 6:05 p.m. Good Wednesday evening. I'm Alex Cook, and you're tuned into the Sports Q here on WJJQ. It's 42 degrees here in the Northwoods and a pretty clear night overall. Here's your weather forecast for tonight.
The forecast for the Northwoods. We've got a low pressure system in South Dakota right now that's lifted a warm front through Wisconsin. This means tonight's temperatures stay mild, only falling to the mid-30s, and stuck under cloudy skies. As the storm strikes, it'll bring scattered light rain showers by early morning that continue on and off throughout the day. With a 1/10 of an inch to nearly 1/4 of an inch expected to fall, we'll be battling breezy winds gusting up to 25 miles per hour and enjoying temperatures in the low 50s for February. I'm WJJQ meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The Sports Q on WJJQ, your source for sports from around the state and in the Northwoods. Here's your host, Alex Cook.
And welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening. Great to have you along. And I have with me back on the line, and there's a lot of excitement going around this team this year. We have Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley back on. Dewey, welcome back. Thank you once again for joining me, my friend.
As always, thanks for having me.
All right. Well, Dewey, there's a lot of optimism and a lot of excitement around this team this year. It's been a phenomenal year already. What do you think has led to your team's success?
I think it goes back to the old saying, it's not the X's and O's, it's the Jimmys and Joes. And when you look at the makeup of our team, we've got some really good kids. And these kids have been playing together now for quite a long time. It was just a matter of getting kids to embrace their role, be it big or small, to make the whole of a team. And I was talking to a couple kids after the game last night, and they talked about, you know, the locker room and how kids are getting along, and that, you know, there's excitement on the bench during games, and just the feel and the energy this year, it's different, and it's a good thing. And you see that reflected on our performance.
You know, Dewey, going into this season, that you went up against some really, really stiff competition that you went through in December. You went up against Somerset, Amory, Nina, University School Superior. What has your team learned, and what have you learned from going against some of the best teams in the state this year?
I think it's just affirmation for me that the philosophy of iron sharpens iron, it matters. And so when you look at strength of schedule and you look at finding the best teams to play against, regardless of the outcome, it does help you. It helps your development. It helps your quicker decision making. And it also gives you a good litmus test of where you truly are at as a team. You know, having blowout games one way or the other doesn't benefit other team or either team. You have to look at, you know, how did you perform? And we go over to that Nina tournament, and yep, we took three losses, but we came out better for it. And I think that was the turning point for us to truly believe that we are a good team and we belong here.
Again, talking here with Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Last year, Dewey, this team, they had an early loss in the Great Northern Conference tournament to Antigo and in the postseason against Northland Pines. What do you think is the biggest thing that they have done to try and right away the struggles that they sustained in the postseason last year?
I think it goes back to, again, the locker room and the fact that these kids are buying into, you know, what we're selling as a coach. And also they're feeling some confidence. You know, they're taking it one shift at a time. And that's kind of our philosophy, is that the outcome is going to take care of itself. If you're worried about that, then the details to get there may not always be in your favor. And so we stress all the time, we win a shift, we win a period, and then we adjust. And I think that has been a good mindset for these kids, to not necessarily look at the end, be present, stay focused on what's in front of you, and take care of business.
Again, Dewey, you've had a lot of young players step up in a big way this year. You've had guys like Jonah Dickens, who has continued his scoring output, Rex Riley, who stepped up as a big defenseman. You've also had second-line guys, Landon Seymour, Braden Lamer. You have Bo Stromberg up until his injury. Why don't you give me a couple more underclassmen that you think have taken a big step forward this year?
As far as underclassmen go, you know, it's also what we're doing in practice. Those guys help prepare us for these games, even though they may not always get on the ice during games or on the score sheet. There's been guys like a Caden Reichelt who stepped up after Bo Stromberg broke his arm and has been put into a role and has embraced it. We also have to look at some of the guys that are upperclassmen. You know, you look at Caleb Dickens, who, you know, week in and week out seems to find a way to get himself on the score sheet. And then you look at a Logan Seymour, who's not always on the score sheet, but, you know, I talked to him last night. He is arguably the best forechecker in our GNC league, and he does not always get the assists or the marks on the score sheet, but what he does forechecking, you know, creates a lot of opportunities for a Jonah Dickens to get points, just from the fact that he's keeping the puck in the zone, he's creating turnovers. That helps us tremendously. And so when you look at, you know, the makeup of our team, we are a good mix. And it's, again, we've talked from the beginning, just putting those pieces of the puzzle together to put points on the board. And you look at a Braden Lamer, who, as a freshman, is, you know, playing like he's a seasoned vet. Rex stepped up. Carson Childers does not always get his name mentioned, on the score sheet, but he's a solid defenseman for us. And we talk all the time on our team, everything works through our defense. And so the fact that, you know, I can rely on those four to truly kind of step up and control the pace of the game, it allows us to generate a lot of offense.
Well, Dewey, again talking here with Hatchet Hockey Coach Dewey Riley here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. You now look at your road to the postseason. The brackets were obviously released this weekend. What does this team need to do to make a deep run into the playoffs?
We need to look at it as it's one game at a time. Do not look forward in the schedule. And I say it ad nauseum. Win your next shift. Worry about your next shift. Be 100% committed to your next shift. And if you go win a shift, you focus on winning the period, the outcome will take care of itself. And so for us, our linear focus is on Saturday and getting ready for that. I told the kids, enjoy, you know, the victory over Mosinee, but, you know, we come back to work today. And so this is how we need to take care of business going forward, because as soon as Saturday's over, everybody's 0-0. It's a brand new season. Everybody's excited. It's the playoffs. And so do not look too far ahead. Worry about the task at hand. And if you're doing that, the outcome will usually take care of itself.
So let's go ahead and talk about your game coming up Saturday here, Dewey. You've got the first Great Northern Conference Tournament Championship in school history since the tournament's inception a few years ago. Saturday night, you go to Mosinee, you take on Lakeland. This is a team that you beat back in the beginning of 2024, earlier this year in January. What does your team need to do to get the victory Saturday night?
Again, stay the course. Just focus on what we do. We're going to face multiple teams. You know, it's the nature of the beast. We can adjust and adapt to what they're doing, but ultimately we have to focus on what we do and what we do well. And so when we do that and control the pace of the game, control the tempo, control emotions, then I truly believe that we have a chance against everybody. Again, this is a rivalry game, which is great. The fan support that we've been getting has been awesome. I cannot thank people enough for doing that, and I hope that they continue to do it, because we truly do feed off of that. And going forward, again, just taking it one game at a time.
Definitely. Dewey, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap things up here?
No, just super proud of the kids, super thankful to the community for the support that we've been given, and I hope that we continue to entertain you.
Definitely. Again, Tomahawk will play for their first Great Northern Conference Tournament title in school history this Saturday night, taking on Lakeland down in Mosinee. Puck will drop at 7 o'clock Saturday night. Dewey, thank you very much for joining me. It's been a great season. Let's hope we can keep it going. What do you say?
Sounds good. Appreciate it, Alex.
Absolutely. Dewey Riley, Hatchet Hockey Coach, here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. We'll go ahead and take another break. We'll be back with more after this here on WJJQ.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
And Chatham Country Club offers two state-of-the-art golf simulators to keep you swinging your clubs during these winter months. Call 405-331-30 to schedule your tee time on one of the sims. Go online to find the simulator hours and make sure you follow Inshallah on Facebook for monthly simulator hours. Inshallah Country Club, 405-331-30 and online at InshallahCC.com. It's the Inshallah Country Club.
Wild Rivers Group Real Estate offers unparalleled service to all clients in the Northwoods real estate market. Your complete satisfaction with our service and representation is our number one priority. Hi, this is Matt Tyler. Whether you are considering buying a home, selling a home, Wild Rivers Group knows the area inside and out. Call me at 490-1820 or stop by our offices at 1414 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, or check us out online at wildriversgroup.com. We're ready to serve you at Wild Rivers Group Real Estate.
Your refreshment headquarters is Tomahawk Warehouse Liquor, where Steve and Mary are offering you still pricing, more savings, and a large selection of beer, wine, and liquor, plus all those extras for your favorite cocktails. About every beverage variety you can think of is available 7 days a week at Tomahawk Warehouse Liquor on the north end of North 4th, open every morning at 8 o'clock.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening. Thank you very much once again to Dewey Riley for joining me on the program. Again, we'll have the Hatchet Hockey Great Northern Conference Tournament Championship Saturday night here on WJJQ. Fairmont Orthodontics pregame show at 6:35, opening faceoff at 7 o'clock. Let's go ahead and now hit the hardwood for some Bucks basketball.
Win. 5.2 left. No timeouts left for the Bucks. Here comes Dame. 3 seconds. Dame pulls for the win. Oh, Dame time is alive and well in Milwaukee.
Well, he wasn't alive and well last night when he didn't show up and had an ankle sprain. So let's dive into this Bucks here, shall we? Look, I'm not going to go on such a big of a rant. I was going to when after they went 1-4 on their road trip this past week. But I will say that there is a little bit of optimism surrounding that road trip because the Bucks were much better defensively than they were under Adrian Griffin already. And there is still time to correct this. A 1-4 road trip will not make or break this season. What I will tell you is the offense needs to get corrected. It will become panic mode if Lillard and Middleton are out for extended periods of time. That will concern me. Look, 1-4 on a West Coast road trip is no good. You lose to Denver. Denver's the reigning champion. They're now 1 of 4 teams tied for the top seed in the NBA Western Conference. Along with, these teams are surprising, I know, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, and the Clippers. It's the small market teams that are essentially ruling the West at this point. And it's the big ones that are ruling the East. Losing to Denver, fair. Losing to Phoenix last night after you had Damian Lillard out and then Chris Middleton left as well, that's fine. The one loss that I will not forgive them for is losing to Portland, though. And here's the reason why. You simply don't lose to Portland. Not in Damian Lillard's return. That, to me, was embarrassing. That, to me, was embarrassing because it's Damian Lillard's return. The Blazers are towards the bottom of the West, and you lay an egg like that. That's concerning. That's the only concerning loss, I would say. And it was a bad fourth quarter in Utah all the way around. No shame. Again, bad fourth quarters happen. And losing Lillard and Middleton hurts, obviously, because Lillard and Middleton are Milwaukee's second and third best players. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned would I be about the Bucks? Give it a 4 or 5. I'm concerned because of the injuries to Lillard and Middleton, and I'm concerned because the offense now is starting to seem like it comes back down to earth. Now, again, and they've also been without Brook Lopez for 3 straight games. Again, he's got something personal going on. He needs to handle it. So, with Brook Lopez, Damian Lillard, and Chris Middleton out, you had to start Pat Connaughton. You had to start Robin Lopez. You had to start Bobby Portis. I've been campaigning for Bobby Portis to be in the starting lineup over Malik Beasley because what you're going to want is a lot of rebounds that will turn into defense and points in transition. Now, I like Malik Beasley. Malik Beasley's a very good shooter. But that's all that he really is. The Bucks are going to have to make a move, though. The NBA trade deadline is tomorrow. They are going to have to make a deal for a 3-and-D wing. Now, the guy that I would personally try to make the effort for and try to trade for is for somebody that has won a title and for a team that seems like they're in free-fall mode at this moment in time. That team is the Golden State Warriors, and that player is Andrew Wiggins. A lot of people say, what about Klay Thompson? Klay Thompson's in decline. He's 34, 35 years old. I don't think he has many years left. I think he's probably got 1 or 2 years left before he ultimately ends up retiring. And no shame in him retiring with 4 rings. In all honesty, no shame in retiring with 4 championship rings. No shame in Steph Curry retiring with 4 championship rings. Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, probably all of them are going to be future Hall of Famers, I would guess. Green is a question mark, but Curry and Thompson, definitely. But if you're able to get Andrew Wiggins from Golden State and put him with this Bucks team, one, you probably would have a starter that would overtake Malik Beasley and have him come off the bench. Or you would have your 6th and 7th man become defensive stoppers. So if you really think about it, there is the potential for Milwaukee to make a move at the deadline. Again, the trade deadline is at, I believe, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time tomorrow. So the Bucks will have to make a move by then. Do I think they'll make a move? Yes. Do I think it'll be a move that benefits them? Maybe. But they're going to have to get a 3-and-D ring. They're going to have to get a 3-and-D wing of some kind. I don't care if it's Andrew Wiggins. You're going to have to get somebody that can handle it. You're going to have to get somebody that knows, and essentially knows the game, and knows how to put it together, knows how to defend, knows what it takes to win an NBA title. And that's what Andrew Wiggins has done since he has come into the league. He was the number one overall pick. He didn't live up to the hype, but he is still a very good defensive player. And again, the other thing I'm going to point out, the defense has gotten better. In a small sample size, it's 8 games since Adrian Griffin got fired. Milwaukee Bucks are top 10 in defensive efficiency. Now, the problem is that they're 2-6 in those games because they've struggled mightily offensively as well, including being down also 24 to Dallas on that one road trip, which was the only game that they won on that road trip, by the way. The only other game that they have won was against Cleveland at home, and that was Cleveland's lone loss in 14 of the last 15 games. So the Cavs are coming as well. But if you look at Milwaukee, Philadelphia is vulnerable. They're going to be without Joel Embiid for an extended period of time. Miami has been in free fall mode because it seems like the Terry Rozier trade has not worked out at all. You've got the New York Knicks who are now dropping guys like flies. If Milwaukee can stay healthy and play up to their potential, which they're fully capable of doing, they're the only team that can challenge Boston in the East, in my opinion. I don't know if they'll be able to win the NBA title because I don't think that Doc Rivers can carry this team to an NBA championship. I just don't. To me, Doc Rivers is the kind of coach that you take with a young team and help them build up. The Bucks are not a young team. They're a team to win now. And again, I'm not saying that Doc is a bad coach by any stretch of the imagination. He is tied for 8th all-time in career wins after he defeated Dallas. Congratulations to him. I'll give him a round of applause for that. But still, 2-6 in the last 8 games.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
There you go. That's really what it boils down to. So the Bucks are going to have to make a move at the deadline in order for them to put themselves back over the top. Or otherwise, they're going to go out in the second round of the playoffs just like every single one of Doc's teams have done since they made the conference finals back in 2012 against LeBron James's Big Three. And that was when Doc Rivers had Kevin Garnett. That was when he had Ray Allen. And that was when he had Paul Pierce, plus Rajon Rondo and Kendrick Perkins and Eddie House. They had guys that knew their roles and knew how to defend, that put in effort. So again, John Horst is going to have to make a move to put Milwaukee over the top. Do I think he's capable of doing that? Yes, we've seen him do it before, but it needs to happen now. Now, for perspective, though, they do come back. They've got a 4-game homestand against some good teams that'll help them get everything going. They've got Minnesota coming up tomorrow, which, again, the Timberwolves, one of the best teams in the West. They're performing incredibly well with Andrew Wiggins. Excuse Andrew Wiggins. Jeez.
You are an idiot.
Yeah, go ahead and yuck it up. That was a big miss. With Anthony Edwards, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Rudy Gobert. So they've got that coming up. After that, they've got Charlotte. And again, the Charlotte Hornets, they seem to be in free fall mode as well. They've got LaMelo Ball and nobody else. The defending champion Nuggets come to town. And then you've got the Miami Heat, or who are in free fall mode. So you should honestly win at least three of these 4 games. I'm saying the Minnesota's a big toss-up. I'm saying the Denver one's a big toss-up. Minnesota, to me, after losing to Chicago last night, the Timberwolves, to me, still are vulnerable. It's not that they're not a bad team by any stretch of the imagination. I think that they'll make a deep run. I think that they could. But the Bucks are going to have to play, again, some of their best basketball if they're going to find a way to keep themselves afloat in the top 4 spot in the postseason. They should honestly beat Charlotte. They should beat Miami. Denver, that's a question mark because Denver's obviously the defending NBA champions with Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic still manning that floor. So if you want to say that Milwaukee is struggling a little bit and there should be concern, absolutely. But there's still time to correct it. The problem is that time's running out. Just my take. Super Bowl 58 prediction is next here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Stay tuned.
where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Cube on WJJQ.
Don't be caught by Old Man Winter once he arrives with a furnace that can't handle the job anymore. Instead, call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700. Premier offers the Dave Lennox signature collection of furnaces designed from the inside out to look good and work better than ever. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700 for a free estimate for your Lennox heating needs and a great service after the sale with special protection plan memberships available. Lennox, innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling, serving customers from Weston to Woodruff and locations in between. Call 453-4700, online at premierheatingcooling.com, or their showroom at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A, Tomahawk.
Work with someone you know and trust. Hi, I am PJ at Crossbridge Community Bank. I take pride in knowing my customers and knowing their businesses. It's just one of those things that makes banking with us different. Local means we shop at your stores and eat at your restaurants. We know when it's your busy season and when you have a moment to take a breath. We want to be your partner in success and offer guidance when you need it most. Crossbridge Community Bank puts purpose first. Whether it's the beginning of your business dreams or time for your retirement, let us be there alongside you. Visit us in downtown Tomahawk, downtown Merrill, or online at crossbridge.bank.
Celebrate Lent this season with Dairy Queen's Popcorn Shrimp Basket. Backed by popular demand for the Easter season, you can grab the perfect size meal for lunch or dinner. Pair it up with Dairy Queen's Blizzard of the Month Red Velvet Cake. Dairy Queen's Popcorn Shrimp Basket, always a fan favorite. Dairy Queen, open with winter hours, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., located on North 4th Street, overlooking the Wisconsin River.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you at 6:28. Almost time for our weather update here on WJJQ, and we're about ready to wrap things up. But first, you know what we're going to do? This is something that I have been looking forward to. It is time here on WJJQ for my Super Bowl 58 preview and prediction. Here we go. All right, let's get right into it, shall we? Taking a look at these two teams here in the Super Bowl. You got the Kansas City Chiefs on one side. You've got the 49ers on the other side. Let's preview this first by talking about Kansas City. The Chiefs are back in the Super Bowl for the fourth time in 5 years. Kansas City is now on the verge of being the dynasty of the 2020s and the first dynasty post-Brady, which is definitely a big, big ask of them. When you think of dynasties, you think of Lombardi's Packers, you think of Bradshaw Steelers, you think of the 80s Niners, the 90s Cowboys, and of course, the 2000s and 2010s New England Patriots. The Chiefs could very well solidify themselves as the team of the 2020s if they end up getting a victory here this weekend. And again, you got Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes is the best quarterback in football. Let's just go ahead and call it what it is. He hasn't had the stats to back it up this year, but he is still performing at a very elite level. And he is relying essentially on two reliable weapons to catch the pass for them. One of them, obviously, is Travis Kelce, who's probably the best pass-catching tight end in NFL history and still in this league today at the age of 34. And then their most reliable receiver is the rookie out of SMU, Rashee Rice, who had over 900 yards receiving this year. Again, the Chiefs haven't really had a number one receiver, pretty similar to what they were last year. I think the loss of Juju Smith-Schuster hurt them quite a bit, but they have been able to bounce back in a big way, and they have stepped up when they absolutely have needed to the most. Now, on the other side, the right receiver by committee, really, you don't really have a lot of big names. You've got Sky Moore. You've got, for Packers fans, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who had a couple of big catches against Buffalo in the divisional round. And then you've got Justin Watson. But again, the big step in the right direction has been Isaiah Pacheco in that running game for Kansas City. Their defense, by the way, a lot of people have talked about the fact that the Chiefs haven't had a great defense. They have the number two ranked defense in the NFL, and it's led by shutdown quarterbacks on both sides, L'Jarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie. And then they have a legit defensive line also that's anchored by their superstar Chris Jones, who again, after he held out, came back, and the Chiefs defense has been dominant ever since. And also, they have a very good linebacking core. They've led by George Karlaftis and Willie Gay. So this Kansas City team, again, they can win their third Super Bowl in 5 years and have a chance to become the first dynasty post-Brady, which would be absolutely enormous. Now let's go ahead and flip to the other side. On the NFC side, you've got the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers have been itching to get back to the Super Bowl since they lost to Kansas City back in Super Bowl 54. That was essentially the beginning of the Chiefs potential dynasty, if you will. They have been in four NFC championship games. They haven't been able to get back to the Super Bowl though since, and most of that has been due to injuries or inconsistent quarterback play from Jimmy Garoppolo. Last year it was due to injuries to both Brock Purdy and Josh Johnson in the NFC championship game that ultimately did them in. As dominant as the 49ers have been as a franchise, they have not won a Super Bowl since 1994. It's been 30 years since San Francisco has won the big game. That was over the Chargers back in Super Bowl 29. That was the highest scoring Super Bowl in its history. It's still at 75 points. It's come close a couple times with the Eagles and the Patriots in Super Bowl 52 and with the Chiefs and the Eagles last year. This is their third appearance since then. Since then, they've lost to Kansas City. They also lost to Baltimore back in 2012 with Colin Kaepernick and Jim Harbaugh leading the way for that 49er team. And this offense has skill position players all the way around as far as the eye can see, led by Christian McCaffrey. Coming over from Carolina last year, he has been 100% healthy, and he's been absolutely dominant in the run game throughout the course of the season. No other way you can look at it. The other skill position players to look at, you've got Deebo Samuel, who is one of the best players run after catch in the NFL today. You've got Brandon Ayuk, who is become very reliable and also had a career high in terms of receiving yards this season. And at tight end, you have the second best tight end in the NFL behind Travis Kelce, led by George Kittle. So again, the 49ers, they have skill position players abound, but the biggest story for San Francisco this year is not even those guys. It's their quarterback, Brock Purdy, who was taken with the last pick in the NFL draft last year, and he has vaulted this team all the way up to the Super Bowl. He gets a lot of props for the way that he has played this season, and I think that he deserves I think he deserves a lot of credit. If he's able to get over the top and beat Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, I think that we can legitimately start talking about Brock Purdy as a top five quarterback in the NFL. And here's the weird part of all this. This team is built on running the football and defense. When you look at their defense, they have all pros, pro bowlers all the way around, no matter what you can look at. Defense is incredibly talented. Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead, Javon Hargrave, and Chase Young. That is their D-line alone. This San Francisco team has been absolutely dominant defensively. And then when you also factor in the fact that this linebacking crew, led by Dre Greenlaw, led by Fred Warner, they also have a cornerback who is an absolutely phenomenal all-pro corner, and he's a former Chief also, Charvarius Ward. This particular 49er team is probably the best team San Francisco has had since they went to the Super Bowl a few years ago. So this is an incredibly talented team. There is no other way around it, no matter what you can look at. Now for my prediction. I'm not going to be surprised if we see this game go one way or another. The first way that it will go for me is that we could get something similar to Patriots-Rams in Super Bowl 53, where this could be a defensive slugfest. Goes all the way down to the wire, and then the Patriots score a touchdown in the fourth quarter and end up winning the game 13-3 over the Rams. There's also the other side where both offenses will go ultimately off and put up 30-plus points. And we've seen that happen before. We saw that happen last year with Kansas City and Philadelphia. We saw that happen with Philadelphia and New England. We've seen that happen in the past. We've also seen games where, both defenses have faltered and you've had the quarterbacks to step up and make a play. And I believe that Patrick Mahomes may end up stepping up and making the biggest play of the game for this Chiefs team. So as a result, going back and forth with everything, I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs to win Super Bowl 58. Here's the biggest reason why. It's not necessarily the fact that I don't think San Francisco will play poorly, but to me, this game is going to come down to who has the ball last. And the last couple of times, Brock Purdy has had the ball last, and he's come away with game-winning drives. He's come away with a game-winning drive to beat Green Bay in the wildcard game. He came away with a big second half to beat Detroit. But Jordan Love and Jared Goff are different, from Patrick Mahomes. So based on that logic and the fact that I think the Chiefs, who have been absolutely dominant defensively as well, San Francisco's defense has been a question mark in this postseason, I'm going to take Kansas City to win. I think it'll be a close game. It will go down to the wire. And I ultimately think that the Kansas City Chiefs will win their third Super Bowl in 5 years and become the dynasty and the team of the 2020s by the final score of 24-21. Kansas City over San Francisco in Super Bowl 58. That is my Super Bowl 58 prediction here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'll be back to wrap things up after this.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Heading into 2024, Gary will begin his 39th year in business, offering service to our Northwoods communities and making him the longest operating auto dealer in the area. If you're looking for a new-to-you vehicle in this new year, well, then make sure you check out their inventory with the best selection of vehicles in the area. There's cars, trucks, SUVs, over 40 units to choose from. And if you can't find exactly what you're looking for on the lot, Gary can help you find your next vehicle. The Auto House has a selection of rental vehicles if you need one, and that's what you call doing business the right way for nearly 40 years. At the Auto House on North 4th and Tomahawk, they're online at autohousecars.net. That's AUTOHAUS cars.net.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Cloudy skies tonight with lows around 36. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast again tomorrow, showers likely, highs level off around 48. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Right now, it's 42 degrees.
Fall in love over and over this Valentine's Day with flowers and coffee. Tomahawk Chamber of Commerce is excited to offer Bloom and Brew this Valentine's Day. Order your $25 combo that includes daisies, carnation bouquet from Rita's Scarlet Garden, and a 16-ounce hot chocolate, mocha, chai latte, or flavored latte from What's Brewing, all wrapped up with love and a small heart balloon. Free delivery to local businesses, right to your Valentine. Place your order online before February 12th at tomahawkchamber.com or drop your check cash off at the chamber office. Tomahawk Chamber of Commerce playing Cupid this Valentine's Day with Bloom and Brew. Place your orders today.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you to wrap up this Wednesday. Let's go ahead and take a look at our Hatchet events coming up over the next week. Coming up tomorrow, Hatchet girls basketball will be taking on Goodman Pembine. We'll have the broadcast of that for you with the Fairman Orthodontics pregame show at 5:35 and tip off at 6. Terry Tim will join me in the broadcast booth. Coming up on Friday, both basketball teams will be back in action as the boys will be on the road and the girls will be at home in a great Northern Conference battle with Mosinee. JV games begin at 5:45. Varsity tips off at 7:15. And Saturday, boy, do we have an action-packed Saturday for you. Starting the day off, we're going to have Hatchet Wrestling Regionals. They will be down in Medford on Saturday. Fairman Orthodontics pre-meet show will begin at 9:35. Matches will begin at 10 o'clock. And Tony Derlith will join me in the broadcast booth. Also, we got boys swimming sectionals in action. They are traveling out to Ashwaubenon. Events will begin at 1 o'clock. And then to wrap up your Saturday, kick back, relax, have a drink, and enjoy listening to the Hatchet Great Northern Conference championship game as Tomahawk takes on Lakeland down in Mosinee. Tim Albert will be with me in the broadcast booth with the Fairman Orthodontics pregame show at 6:35, opening faceoff scheduled for 7 o'clock. And then coming up on Tuesday, both basketball teams back in action against non-conference opponents. Girls basketball will be in Rib Lake. We'll have the broadcast of that game for you. JV game at 5:45. Fairman Orthodontics pregame show 6:50. Tip-off 7:15. Terry Tim scheduled to be back in the broadcast booth with me. And then boys basketball will be taking on Phillips. JV game at 5:45. Varsity tip-off at 7:15 from the Hatchet House here in Tomahawk. Thank you very much for tuning in to tonight's edition of the Sports Q here on WJJQ. Enjoy some Hatchet hockey highlights from the Great Northern Conference semifinal victory over Mosinee last night. That's going to do it for me. Thank you very much for tuning in. Have a spectacular day, and I will see you all next week.
live and on the air. A very good Tuesday evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alex Cook. Great to have you with us. We're coming to you from Sarah Park in Tomahawk, and we've got the Great Northern Conference Tournament semifinals on tap for you tonight as the number one seeded Tomahawk Hatchets take on the number four seeded Mosinee Indians. And right back in the broadcast booth with me is the one and only Zach Garner. Welcome back, Zach.
Yeah, always good to be here. Some more exciting tournament action. Like we said, a little bit of an aperitif, a precursor for the actual tournament, but this is a nice way to jump into postseason hockey.
Yep, face-off won by the Indians. Here's Jaeger dying with a shot. That's deflected, and Austin Lamer comes away with it. And there's a nice pass. Here's Jonah on the breakaway. Jonah, he shoots, he scores! Jonah Dickens gets it right by Aiden Carson. The Hatchets strike first with 8-14 to go in the first period.
Yeah, that's we've talked about those set plays off of the faceoffs in the defensive zone, and you know, I think they caught Mosinee napping. You can't let Jonah Dickens sneak out like that, and the Hatchets, it wasn't clean where they got it up right away, but Jonah was just kind of hanging out there, key to get that pass right on the stick, and Jonah did the rest, a nice little move, and I believe slid it right on the ice between Carr's legs for the goal.
Again, Mosinee's defense has been able to play incredibly well here once again with their penalty kill. Big check into the boards once again. Loose puck again. That one is going to be kept in play. Austin Lamer now with a clean look. That shot deflected, and it goes in! That shot, that looked like it was going to be a pass. It goes off an Indian and ricochets right past Carson, and Lamer scores.
Yeah, that was a very unusual the play. Mosinee's upset. They thought that there should have been an interference behind the net right before that. And I might kind of agree with them, but you got to play the play out.
Yes.
Austin Lamer, the puck was deflected off of, I believe it might have been Swiderski's, his upper thigh.
Yeah.
He was right out by Austin out at the blue line, and the puck kind of just changed directions and was an arching shot end over end, and just found its way to the back of the net. I'm surprised no one got a glove on it, including Aiden Carst. He might have lost track of it, because like I said, it was just kind of a fluttering puck up in the air.
Well, that's one way to get your first power play goal. 2-1 here, Tomahawk leading. Another faceoff in the Mosinee zone. Faceoff going to be won by the Hatchets. Caleb Dickens comes away with it. His shot, and he scores! Caleb Dickens zooms it right past in and Carst off the faceoff, and the Hatchets lead 3-1 with 14:05 to go.
Yeah, that was another fluky goal, if you want to call it that. You know, Caleb, it was kind of a draw on the faceoff where it just kind of flipped up into the air. I don't know if this Sawyer Hanna kind of deflected it back down to Caleb, but he fired it from basically right where he was standing on the initial faceoff.
Faceoff in the Tomahawk zone. It looks like it's going to be won by the Indians. Yurkovsky tries to keep it in. Jonah Dickens knocks it away. Dickens with an opportunity. Here he comes on a breakaway again. Jonah shoots. He scores! Jonah Dickens puts it in the top corner, and the Hatchets go up 4-1 in the third period. Sully Button being hit by both Dickens here tonight.
Yeah, you know, that was a great speed by Jonah, as we've seen so many times. Elliot Yurkovsky kind of caught in no man's land. I think he debated, he started to get the intentional penalty and thought better of it and just kind of hoped for the best, and Jonah was able to bury it. He was up close to Carson. Great job lifting the puck over his glove. I don't know if it hit the bar or the top of the net, but went straight back into the net, and a great shot to lift it up.
Riley looks to operate. We'll go ahead and leave it for Austin Lamer. Again, 45 seconds to go on the power play. That one will go right to Rex Riley. Riley looking. He makes a move. Riley gets it across his blue line. Riley with a shot. He scores! Rex Riley puts it in. Ryan past Carston is right, and the Hatchets, with their second power play goal of the night, go up 5-2. My goodness!
Yeah, that was a great shot. I mean, he just kind of picked out the corner. I don't know if he caught Carst off guard. It was just, you know, in the corner, a low shot, which is a difficult save for the goaltender. And like we said on the Obremski goal, maybe they were kind of expecting the Hatchets to set up the power play versus the shot off the rush. And Rex was able to find the back of the net.
The Tomahawk Hatchets, for the first time since the tournament's inception, are headed to the Great Northern Conference Championship. They have defeated Mosinee in the semifinal. Final score, Tomahawk 5, Mosinee 2.
You've been listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community, right here on Northwoods 92.5, WJJQ Tomahawk.